tonight. Stand with me. That's the reason the Word of God. Turn to Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. I'll say again, it's been a blessing to preach this week here, and we try our best to be a help to you. And we've come that we might be a help to you.
Yeah.
And not be a hindrance. Begin at verse number 14 of chapter number 4 of Hebrews. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast in our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are.
Oh yeah.
Yet without sin.
Amen.
Let us, listen close, speaking to the Savior. Let us, therefore, come bold unto the throne of grace. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. In the time of need. Little Mark, you leave.
Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And God, we thank you for your grace and for your mercy. Lord God, we thank you for the privilege, Lord, to be in your house one more time this afternoon, Lord. God, we appreciate the great movement of God you've already felt in your heart. But Lord, and I pray right now, God, that you have touched your man. Lord God, that you have gone in from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, Lord. Would you let us, Father, be your presence once again in your word? Let's not my prayer right now, Lord, if there's one lost, what up without you? Oh, God, that we're saved before it's everlasting all the way. Pray, God, we ask you, Lord, that you just move in every heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl in this place. Lord, in touch right now, we pray, God. Help for those that are following you afar off, Lord. Help them to be drawn by the word of truth tonight, Lord, and come to him. God, we'll pray to you and give you glory and honor. But Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Yes, God, tell us. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. All right, we're thankful for the anointing of God. We're thankful tonight for the seed of God. And I love it when God sees and
thanks.
I realized a long time ago I can't preach that morning to God. And I always ask God to season
everything. Come on, brother.
He seasoned these things.
Bless you, Lord.
He salted them, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
And it's just like that. And if the wife picks potatoes or anything, if she picks green beans,
bless him,
I want some fat back in it. I want some salt.
Yes, Lord.
I mean, it ain't fit to eat if it ain't got some good seed.
Come on, brother.
So the preaching ain't no good. And ain't
bless you, God.
Well, you pray tonight. God season up just for a few moments.
Come on.
The brother, I preached on Wednesday night on grace. The brother preached last night on mercy. And that's two words we'll find in verse number 16. Let us come overcome boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace. It said, and grace to help in time of need. I want to preach on that word help tonight. I want to preach tonight. There's help if you want it. But because, why is there help if you want it? Because of God's grace.
Yes,
can find help in the time of need. I tell you, folks are looking everywhere. They're seeking, they're longing in the world and trying to find help. But I tell you, they're looking in the wrong place. I'm glad Psalmist David said Psalm 41 and Psalm 46 and God is all that you have said. He said a prayer in prison. Psalm 121, he said, I lift up my eyes on the field. He wasn't looking for the healed for his health. He was looking to heal with the enemy. He said, I lift my eyes unto the hill. He asked the question. He said, bro, whence cometh my help? Then he answered the question. He said, my help cometh from the Lord.
Yes, sir.
I want to preach tonight just for a few minutes. Oh, there's help if you want.
Come on.
There's five men in the Word of God. I I'm going to give an illustration tonight just for a few moments about the subject of hell. Today I building something for a man, and he and I went in, a good friend went in to crosswalk over to a building store in Patterson. When we got over there, he came back out of Walmart, and we pulled in to get cash. And when I looked on the corner, I looked at the young lady. She was standing out there holding a sign. Looked pretty rough. She did look like she might have been in her 30s, but she looked pretty rough. And she had a sign there. I said, "Boy, I need work. And I may feed my two children." And I thought, "Boy, she's probably a panhandler." But the longer I sat in the vehicle while he pumped gas, God said, "You need to help that cow.
That's right.
You need to help that cow." I had just a few dollars in my pocket. That's why I took him out. That man got back in the truck. I said, "Stop over on the corner where this lady is. I'm going to give her a few dollars." Yeah. He took out his billfold and got some money too. He pulled up beside that gal. I rolled my window down. I said, "Sis, I got a question for you." I said, "Have you ever been saved? Are you a Christian?" She said, "Sir, I got saved when I was 13 years of age." And I said, "Well, I'm going to give you some help today. I'm going to give you this money, but I hope to God you'll use it for what you're asking in prayer." But you know, I thought about this on the line on the way home. When I thought about God gave me the message on hell, I've got bad God children don't have to stand on the street corner. We're where God wants us to be. We're where God is, the center of God's will. And we know how to pray for him. I've explained it to that once myself. Jesus said, "Take no thought for what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor wherewith you shall be clothed." And not the body more than the life more than drink, the body more than clothing. He said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added." There's help if you want to. Look here now tonight, over Mark chapter number. I'm going to look at a man that no man would offer to hell. John chapter number 5, I believe it is. We'll find in the Word of God. If you want to turn there just for very quick, just momentarily. John chapter 5, the Bible said Jesus went up to Jerusalem in a feast. Don't say what the feast could have been. It could have been about three different feasts. But he said he went to where there was a sheep market that had a pool by the name of Hebrew tongue Bethesda. And he said there were five porches under that pool. And then in these porches laid all manner of impotent folk. They were all, they were maimed, they were just never sicknesses. And he said an angel would come down in a certain season and would travel the water. Whoever stepped in first was made whole, whatsoever disease they had. But Jesus, there was a man that was carried, that was laid there, that had an infirmity for 38 years. And had no man. I mean, Jesus came. I knew he'd been that way a long time. He said unto that man, said, "Well, tell me, made whole." He said, "Sir, and I have no man. And the water's trouble to put me in." Well, sir, why I'm coming, somebody else gets up. I said, "Man, it ain't just seasonal. God gives the invitation. It ain't just when the water's hurt. It ain't no God 24 hours a day. 365 days.
Amen. That's right.
Here was a man, said, "I have no man."
Yeah.
Nobody cared enough for him to come by.
That's right.
Pick him up, put him in the
pool. Amen.
That he could be healed.
Yeah.
But Jesus said, "Take up thy bed and walk."
He
didn't tell him to go to rehab. He didn't tell him to go to the drugstore and get him a sack of pills. He said, "Take up your bed." If part of us, if most people today would trust God, they can hold their medicine cabinet outside. He got the natural resource to get him. You understand? Here, this man had nobody to help him. Jesus come by and he gave him some help. That's a man that nobody was willing to help. But over in Mark chapter number 2, I find a man that some folks was willing to help. The Bible said Jesus entered into Capernaum. And when he entered in, said it was known at the broad that he was in the house. I'm glad to tell people he'd been in the house
over there.
He'd been in the house tonight. Somebody said, "I see Evan," except you didn't see him, though, but I seen him. He goes to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus said, "Now listen. You yeah. can win, come through. You can't tell which gun where it goes, but you see the picture. You can't see the spirit of God, but you see the picture. Begin to swell up like bull pump, and I begin to shed tears, and begin to shout, get hard to preach, and then comprehend. Look out the soul of their feet. That's not, you know, he's in the house. I want to be where he's at. I can't stand these dried up churches in there. I mean, they're just running me down. I preached all over this country. Here, a few years back, I began to get appointments in places I've been over the years. I go back and visit them. I come all down through this country, and I begin to go back to old churches where I preached revival.
Yeah.
And I felt 99% of them was changed. They had gone so lukewarm and cold that they no longer know what it was to worship God in spirit. And I mean, it literally broke my heart. I mean, there were the churches that have been on fire for God, but they left the world. Still, they're torn. They saw them what they were saying. That's another subject for me to get back to the lane tonight. Help if you want him.
Yeah.
This man he got help because Jesus come by.
Amen.
But over here in Mark chapter number 2, verse number 1, he was knowing the brother, he was in the house. So when they heard about him being there, look here, I appreciate the crowd being here this week.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's about that house every night. I appreciate that. But let me tell you something, when Jesus made his presence, when his presence gets known, I mean, and Brother Jerry said that very night, you don't want to miss it tomorrow night.
Amen.
And I thought about it. People used to when you was in revival, Jerry, I didn't want to miss it. I prayed I didn't want to miss it. Even before I started preaching, when they said an old fashioned revival, I prayed I was going to miss it. I prayed somebody get saved, I wouldn't be there to see it. Now he was knowing brought me in the house. I mean, you tell folks Jesus now they come to see if he'd been resurrected or something.
Yeah.
But now he comes in the spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody said about Jesus lived in the heart. Let me correct you. It's the Holy Ghost lived in you. That's the representative of God. He comes in Christ. You know where God is at? Christ sitting on the right hand of God.
Yeah.
He's our high priest.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
That's making intercession. I mean, listen, that's where our help comes from. We pray through the Holy Ghost. Through the Spirit.
Amen.
Yeah, he takes our gift.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And he grants it, not because of mercy, because of Jesus. So this fellow here, I mean, here he was, he's in the house, and they packed the house.
Yep.
They come, I'm just going to paraphrase it. Now they just come fill the house so much, and there was no room, no, not even at the door.
Yeah.
And but they four old boys up the road there had a good old neighbor who was sick of a palsy. And I mean, the palsy means he's crippled, he's lame, he couldn't walk. So them four old boys just got him by the bed. They picked his bed up back in a paddock was a bed.
Amen.
I could just see them four better get home, he's going apart. And they got down there to the center of the house where Jesus was, and they got there. I thought, boy, we can just get him where that man Jesus is.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to go out and invite people to come to the house of God anymore. That's why sinners don't come by, they don't get saved. Nobody wants to take time to move with. But these four old boys, I mean, don't give them no name, but say, he said they, Bible said they were born a four. I reckon that still means forward, don't it? Born a four, I reckon that's forward. Well, I don't know what school it was, maybe 25 now. They try to change everything else. They stopped from writing and cursing. And I heard tell the other day somebody said that the little boy they wanted to sign his name, said he couldn't. Said they didn't make him learn to write in cursive anymore.
Right.
He could print it, but he couldn't sign it.
That's
pitiful what we get to. But look here this mother was, they picked him up, took him down where Jesus was in the house, and when they got there, they couldn't get in. They weren't Baptists.
Come on, brother. Well, preach right there, brother.
No one can say they were Baptists. What make you know they wasn't bad? If it had been bad, they said, come to the door and said, well, we just can't get in, we'll come back tomorrow. I had a revival one time, a parking lot was filled, but we got parking on the side of the road, you want to pull off and park. And some people come and told me the next night, said, we come last night, parking lot full, moving back home. I said, that's good enough for you. You missed a good blessing. Come on. Come on. They didn't want to be there, they found someplace to park. I tell you what I've seen time. I went to church one night and the house was packed full and that we sat in office meeting every was and I had me a front row seat. I mean they wouldn't know where they standing at the door, standing in the aisles, they sitting in the floor, sitting on the stage, and I had me a good comfortable seat on the front. This little boy come out of the back office, just a ball of high weeds squalling and crying, and I hit the head altar to pray with him off the seat. But God bless, he got saved. Amen. So I just felt me a place to floor and sit down.
Amen.
There'd been most bad to say he got pounded out and said, well, they got my seat to go down. I had, it may have been quit one time because they said, oh, brother so-and-so got brother's seat. Went to him, they said, that for long, I'll cut you a seat. I said, what made that his seat?
Yeah.
I mean, you can say where you want to. You said you may sit in a certain place every Sunday, but if somebody come and said, Daniel, wait, don't pass by, just go somewhere there. The little butter dog in the fellowship hall, they dumped balloons and wrote me a card on the bottom. One little person, you sit on the front and you spit too much. I said, well, this lady never did want a prayer tell her. Oh, I say, they ain't like you. Say, that's something about them doing good. You're lying.
Come
on, brother. Yeah. But they come to the house and it was filled. They couldn't get in.
Yeah, right.
They didn't have a negative attitude. Yeah. One of them, I think this might have been the call. See? Yeah, I believe one of them probably looked up first and I think they're the sheep. Said, what about us just taking the roof up? And we got right down where Jesus is. They went to the effort of taking the roof up and let them down in the presence of where Christ was.
Amen.
That's what Jesus told him when he got down. He said when he saw. He didn't say his faith.
Right.
He said when he saw their faith.
Amen.
He said unto the sick of palsy, I take up thy bed walk.
Amen.
And them stopped back and they just couldn't stand that. And he said, would it be here? Well, first he said, I sin be forgiven me. They begin to condemn him, say it's all God forgive sin. Right. He no gratitude. And he said, would it be easier for me to say thy sin be forgiven? There, take up thy bed.
Yeah.
But he said that you may know something about Proverbs, forgive sin. I said, they take up rise, take up thy bed. Walk. He got his bed and left out.
Amen.
Long be doctrine, lose all business if people just live. They just go Christ. God, I mean, he can take care of what they're needing. But so this man here, he had some folks with him to help him. But then I found a man in Mark chapter number 5 that there was no man could help. There are circumstances that nobody can help you. Jesus went across the sea, he landed on the Sea of the Gadarenes. Over in Decapolis, they were gathering people, but he landed in the place of Decapolis. And when he got off the ship, I remember he went out of the tombs. This is the man that was running the
ship.
That was the man that was possessed with
demons. Sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I mean, he had so many they called him legion. A legion could be anywhere from 1,000 to 6,000.
Yeah.
But I don't know he was possessed. He lived among them. He had to be possessed with a cemetery. I told folks I've had drink years ago and I wouldn't pull a cemetery and drink a beer at all. I didn't want to be around a cemetery. I mean, them dead people can't body, but I just ain't going to be around them. I would like to be. I like a lively bus. They may get up. Well, if they did, I'd leave out. My uncle died, he's going to leave me in the church overnight. I want somebody to stay with him. I said, you get somebody to me. I ain't praise the dark. I respect the dead, but he wasn't going nowhere. He wouldn't get up and leave. But he made his living among two.
Yeah.
Cut himself, trying to commit suicide. Naked.
That's right.
All time they had bound him with letters and chains. He didn't put them aside.
Amen.
The old man could take him.
Right.
The old man combined
him. Amen.
City folks, you know that's the way it is with Alcohol Anonymous and all these rehab places. They get rich off of city people, they go right in. And there's more dope, I've been over more dope in rehab center than you are out on the street.
Amen. Believe it.
I was that close to being an alcoholic. I drank it when I got up, I drank it when I went to bed. I worked all week, worked 40 hours a week, where I could drink all weekend. That close. Jim knows. I never went to this AAA. He never spent 1 hour in AAA. What you do, preacher? Let's help.
Hey!
You know what AAA says? I've dealt with Alcoholics Anonymous. I've people that's been there. They tell you that you'll always be an alcoholic. That you have to always confess. Everywhere you ever meet, you go to, I'm so-and-so, and I'm a reformed alcoholic. Well, I'm a rebirth alcoholic.
Amen.
Amen.
You get saved, you get help the Lord. It'll work. And I ain't in this desire to suck on a bottle of sin.
Amen.
Amen, preacher.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that this better people still possess the demons. Amen. You say, preacher, you many people still today possess the demons from other people.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I told this story of where I went several years ago when Jamestown first built the Super Walmart. Me and my wife were over there, and I always go and go directly what I want and directly out.
Amen.
So I went directly to the sports center. I had to go around through the men's section and go on the shortcut back to the sports center, and I come around the corner head on. Here stood a girl in that aisle. Her hair was about 5 different colors. She had eye rings, rings from here to here, here to there, no telling where else in her lips. And I didn't know they made contacts. It looked like cat eyes.
Yeah.
You ever seen them pretty, them marbles? They had them real deep set cat eyes in them.
Yeah.
She had a pair of them on, and when I faced to run the corner, and her face, black eyes shot all over, when I turned the corner on her, I just sunk. When I got to myself, I went back to my wife and I said, honey, come here. She said, what is it? I said, I've never seen the devil, but I just snuck over his wife around here. Anybody dressed like that has to be demon possessed. Woo! Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It don't matter if it's my children or yours.
Looking like that. That peach tree stayed pruned anyway. There wasn't no such thing as pruning the peach tree around the house. We kept pruning. She said, got her limb. Come back and broke them when you got two.
Attack with the demons.
Amen.
Everybody seen Jesus. He said, oh, thou son of David.
Yeah, he knew.
What have you done? You come toward me before my time.
Yeah.
He asked him not to put that. The demons asked him not to bid him to go out of country. But he said that to hurt the swine over here.
Yeah.
That's going to demons.
Yeah.
Look here, 2,000 swine standing on the seashore. And the demons left this man when Jesus commanded him to go out. They left him, went into that herd of swine, and they ran into the sea and they choked.
Yeah.
Another demon to die 2,000 hogs.
Amen.
Great.
Yeah.
And they just kept the swine run back into the sea. They kept the swine and told them all things that were done and about that legion was out there. You know what their folks cared about? I can just imagine their conversation. Everyone in the city said, well, every bit of our pork chop and bacon laying over our noses. Some man by the name of Jesus has cast the demons out of that man that we couldn't cast them out of. And they got in our swine and they're in the ocean ground.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where it's all cured meat comes from. Well, they come out and see what took place. Guess how they found old Lee? He wasn't naked. He wasn't cutting himself a rock.
No.
He wasn't running through the tombs.
Yeah. Come on.
One of them said he was at the feet of Jesus for marketing. He said, well, the other gospel is cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. The devil will drive you out of your mind.
Amen.
This man, nobody can help him.
Amen.
I want to say something. If you're lost, there's nobody can help you.
That's right.
Amen.
We can pray for you.
Yeah.
We can point you in the right direction.
Yeah.
But the only way you'll get help is go to the throne of grace.
Amen.
Amen.
Go to the Calvary. Leave the case. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Ask for the blood.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. All people like preaching Monday night on missing first base. You miss first base, you don't get to the blood.
You're just running restoration, right? It's just illusion. Now let me look at two men that didn't want no help. Simply didn't want no help. Acts chapter 24. We find them out in the name of Jesus. Paul was preaching the gospel. That was upsetting people everywhere he went. Hey, somebody said, does it bother you people gets upset and nobody is stirring up something? I ain't doing no good. Had a woman come to church one Sunday morning. She's out of the north. Sent by some of her kin folks back there. And I was trying to preach. And she's talking out loud. I know she's talking about me. She had to be. And they were shaking her head. I'm just preaching, slobbering, and stomping. And she just sat there and talked and carried on. And when it's all over, said and done, I had a deacon that taught Sunday school. We walked in the back of the house, said, can folks come out? She'd come out, got over the deacon's hand, said, oh, she's dying to go to that Sunday school then. I stuck my hand out, she said, no. And didn't enjoy that preacher. She said, nobody knows how to act the way you act. Said, nobody has squall, stomp, slobber like you do. What's kind of, I kind of got in the flesh. It kind of rubbed me a little bit. Long way. Now, I come home and call him in. I wish I could have stuck it back, but I said, and I just left. I said, well, I don't remember him back. Just like my preaching, I didn't invite him to come listen. So sometimes you have to put up a lot. Yeah. Just keep preaching.
Amen.
When you come, get your hydro problems. Amen. Go study about Paul, man.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
Every moment of his days of his life, he faced opposition.
Yeah.
So when trouble's in the church, these preachers nowadays, they can't stand the rain chair. Let alone a hurricane. I mean, the devil sends storms in the church. First thing you know, the preacher jump up and run. I said the other night, I called the church office. A lot of folks didn't like it, but that's what y'all talk over here a while, over yonder a while. And today, peace in them. And then a lot of these brothers now want to preach, but they want a church that's already established, got 110.
Preaching, brother!
Yeah.
And I say, I just ain't got no word to preach. God's got street corners everywhere.
Amen.
I got the pumpkin fest in town the other day. One of them old boys standing there on that corner, and I mean, there was a crowd out there. They estimated, I believe they said about 3,000, maybe 5,000. Was that pumpkin festival? Some of them old boys were slaughtering to be. If they'd appreciate it, they'd turn about this and preach about 15 minutes. He'd get out of the way, nothing, just step up and he'd take over. I mean, they'd land the road. And they just thought, woo! Hey there, brother, hang on! There's a place to preach!
Yeah.
Nursing homes! Jailhouses!
Preach, brother, come on! Man.
Come on.
That's right. Yeah. Bless the Lord. Obedience, so. Ananias. And one man, I can't remember his name, he was an accuser. Mm-hmm. Him and some of the higher ups went to Peter and said, hey, listen, Peter. Peter was good. Said, hey, listen to me. Said, that counter's erupting things. This used to be, in other words, I'm paraphrasing, this used to be a calm city. So that man's come in here, said he disturbed things bad. He woke somebody up.
Yeah.
Old preacher's getting him back to church as he's waking up. Hey, brother.
Yes, sir.
I sat around snoring. I remember old George Davis one time, his man sleep. George, he done it on purpose. He just went back, that first sat back next to the door. He just went back there to preaching. That old person flipped, he slapped that door, just started slapping. That first time about that house, but they were accusing Paul. Mm-hmm. Timing Phoenix saying, why Priscilla got time to hear Paul? So when Paul, they wanted to hear him concerning his faith. So when he got to him, he reasoned with them about faith, peppers, and judgment to come. And old Peter's trembling under Paul. Paul began to testify to old Peter. Oh, I'm telling you, man of God gets where he needs to be. He'll put fire. He'll put fire in it.
Yeah.
That man prayed for me that night. His flame was that long.
Uh-huh.
And he had my number.
Yeah.
I couldn't have where I was. You
You see these pictures on the wall with the set of eyes, you, everywhere you go, you look over here, them eyes looking at you, you're going on, and they're still looking at you. Well, every time I look up that finger, no matter what that picture is,
that finger was pointed right at me. He had my number.
Let me tell this right here, I'm not trying to be funny. This woman, her husband, went to church when she said, all the preacher does pick on. She said, no, I said, you just think he does. She said, I'll tell you what, she said, yeah, he does, he wants to fire right at me. She said, you go Sunday morning and said, sit down the best place and sit behind the door in a chair. Said, he'll not know you though. Said, you'll see he ain't calling you out. So that old preacher preached for about 30, 45 minutes. He preached and he said, I'll tell you what, it wouldn't do good if we can get the devil out behind the door.
So he had his number regardless.
But it is trembling, he said, Paul, said, go thy way for this time.
Amen.
And said, when I have the Lord convenient season, yeah. I'll send for you. You know, I've read this book inside out. I'll never found where you ever sent for him again.
All right.
And 9 chapters out of 10, more likely than not, he's in hell. Then you go to chapter 26, Felix, the governor, sends Paul, so they send him over to Agrippa, King Agrippa. So when Paul got the King Agrippa, he began to tell about that lie. You ever notice he gave that story at conversion, story 3 times? And the light got brighter every time. Every time he rehearsed that to somebody, it got bright. The light got bright.
And when he told old Grippa, he told him about
that light shining down on him. When he came down, and he said, Grippa, he out of pockets. He said, I know you believe. He said, Paul, almost now persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost don't get it done. Then you almost saved your husband, said, Lord.
Amen.
I meant to.
Yeah.
I should have. I've asked people, I say, are you saved? They say, well, I think I am.
Lord,
it's a no sense. It's between you and God. Don't you know? I can look at you, you can smile and look good. But the Bible says you get the spirit of our
heart. That's right.
I was preaching a meeting. This man and woman sat about 4 pews back. I give the altar call one night, and more than I could see, conviction. And I knew they were under conviction. And I told you the other night, that's very seldom that I ever went back and said anything to anybody. I let the Holy Ghost do the drawing. But God gave me that night to go back and invite that couple to the altar, probably in their 40s. And I went back and I said, sir, are you and your wife saved? He said, oh, yeah. And I went back to the pulpit, and that night I went home bum-bustling. I thought, Lord, did I mislead? Did I miss what I felt that you led me to do? Boy, felt bad. Felt bad that I left the pulpit and I went back. So the next night, preached again. Guess what? They stood there and I seen tears begin to stream. They come out and stood in the first place. They got up and said, preacher, we lied to you last night. We told you you were saved to get you to leave us alone.
That's right.
Some people don't want help.
You're right.
Some people would rather you just leave alone. My wife, that ain't. Well, I'm telling you what, she was a war parable, she was a witness. I've lost. Brother, she'd come to the grocery store, I'd have a hunting. Because I guarantee you didn't get out of her. You didn't get out of her sight. She witnessed you. Sheriff tell you how you need to get saved. Guess who was the first person I laid eyes on when the Lord saved me and I looked around. There she was outside me afraid. I despised her. I literally hated that woman. I'm honored before I got saved. I didn't want her in a mile of me. Said I'm praying for you and I wanted to tell her, don't pray for me. Kind of like Freddie Melton's 2 kids, Jacob and Hannah. Hannah got saved, though. Jacob's still on. Born that little gal got a burden for her brother. She's not praying for her. Jacob up here, off in the bed, in the front room.
born as kids and he went to his dad and said, Dad, did you believe that happened? What friends made?
Wrong person.
Did you believe that happened? What friends made? Hell. Preached on grace.
Yes.
He preached on love. I preached on touch in first place. Preached on mercy. Now then, help in the time of need. You can come tonight, whatever the problem is. He's got help for you. And the good thing about it, he will help you. You know, you go, over the years, you can go to bankers and they'll say, we just can't do it right now. But you can be turned down a lot of ways.
That's right.
I'm a lot of disappointments.
Yeah.
But I've never been to the throne of grace.
That's right.
Asking God for help.
That's right.
Yeah. This is my sister testified for cancer. Boy, we prayed. We prayed. God bless her. I'm telling you, I believe it like this. I believe she testified this one night. Her body belongs to the Lord as His, and she wasn't going to leave till he got through it. That's true. We're His. I know you can shorten your days. Ain't going to do much about it. But I've enjoyed preaching this week. God is a gracious God. He's a merciful God.
That's right.
He's a loving God.
Yeah.
And he's a helpful God.
That's right.
If you'll just come to it, bring it, whatever it is. This may be the last time I'll ever get to preach to you. I told him at church Sunday, I said, boy, if I had my feathers, I'd like to die in the pulpit wide open. Just meltdown. Just have a meltdown. Preaching one Sunday morning, I never experienced this. But I got up on multiple, I think, probably about three that time. I got something out of this world, and all of a sudden, I found myself waking up. I mean, it just helped me that. I just, like I knew. I just breathed a little, just willed it to be more. Took me a while to get my burns. Got back up. Got to finish my message out a while ago. I love the presence of God.
Amen.
You'll stand with us tonight. We'll ask these saints to come back and get our commercial song tonight and all the information. If you're here, you got a problem. If you're here tonight, you need help. I wouldn't leave without coming seeking him and asking him. Because he is the presence of God.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Not, you don't have to go to him and say maybe tomorrow. No people that's called me and I'll say, hey, I just can't do that right now. And I hate it. But you'll never dial up God's number and he'll be busy. You never get how many can remember the old party line? I used to say this and I've learned on men with just as bad as women. Some of them old women seem to get on the phone and I'd pick it up and try to call them and say, I wish you'd get on the phone. I wish you'd let us talk, man. Pick it up 45 minutes later, and he still hadn't had it. The sciatic nerve was hurting, or his hands were hurting. But men were just as bad as they were. And you just couldn't get a call for it. But I'm glad God's got an open mind. When the bell was ringing in the temple. If you leave tonight without help, it'll be your problem.
That's right.
It won't be his, it won't be mine. I told him, there's help.
Yeah.
That's the same. God bless you.